It's called You're More Powerful Than You Think. This, and this is part two. Last week what we were dealing with was identity. And we're still right there. Identity. And I don't know, there's just so much I want to say about it. You know, there's a verse that says in John 10, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow, another voice they will not follow. And that is about, and I know how I would perceive that, and we always give it this natural view, because we, and then we come down with the questions, well, is this voice from God, or is it from somebody else? And we don't know, because we don't recognize the voice, but it, just throw it out there, and we'll explain this more at another time. But the voice of shame and condemnation is not of God. So when it comes to you, it's not God. So when you feel guilt and shame and all that, it's not of God. So, and we were looking at this scripture, you know, from Matthew 11 last week, and we kind of seen that, and this is so important, I missed this for many, many years, that Jesus became one with us. Everybody says, well, Jesus died for me. And in the context that it's preached, that's not true. He died as you. He became so one with you that it was Jim Moore on the cross. Paul got a hold of this. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. He got a hold of that. So, in that one act, all the shame, the guilt, my history, your history, it was dealt with once and for all. Once and for all. Now see, that poses the point, because a lot of Christians don't believe that, but then here's where I got in trouble, and here's where all other Christians get in trouble. What about the sin you committed today? Because you know you messed up. So then we just kind of said, this is where I've got to pay for it, I've got to suffer, I've got to, you know, I've got to repent. There's a million different things that come around. So we believe Jesus dealt with all that, but we don't believe he deals with the now. Because we still got sin as things that you do and think and say. And really, and truly, if you want to get right down to it, there's only one sin right now. The one sin is unbelief. I mean, that's it. Everything else is dealt with. I mean, if you believe that Jesus finished it, everything else is dealt with. Now, so when Jesus came here, became me, he makes my history his history, right? He took it all. But he embraced us as human, but then he takes it into death, but then he raises up out of the dead, goes to the Father, and he takes me with him. I'm there before the Father in Christ. Now, here's a little bit. We got here just a little bit last week. I'm just going to go over just a tad bit in that phrase where he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And we've said this before, that God wasn't beating up Jesus so that he could forgive your sins. If that was the case, and he tells you to forgive one another, then if God was beating up Jesus in order for you to forgive somebody, you would have to go beat him up, wouldn't you? Because even as I forgave you, you forgive one another. How did God forgive you in Christ? He beat up Jesus, so you would have to go beat up those people before you could forgive them. if we want to stay true to the word. So obviously it wasn't God beating up Jesus to forgive you of our sin. It was Jesus exposing himself to everything that human could do to human and bearing that in his own body. Every repulsive thing that human could ever do to another human, he bore that in his body. Now, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And I'm just going to tell you why. Jesus was God the Son, and God the Father was in God the Son, and the Holy Spirit was in God the Father and God the Son. So it wasn't just the visit of the Son. The Father was over here. All three of them came here. These three are one. So we got a visit from the Trinity. And he brought judgment upon that sin and put it away. Judges that sin in himself. That's why Isaiah 53, you know, we talked about this one time, Isaiah. We did esteem him stricken and smitten of God. The whole world believes that God was smiting because that's what he says. We did esteem God was doing it. But that wasn't true. God wasn't doing it. It was because of our sins he bore it. For our iniquities he was bruised. The love of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost all beat it to cross. So, and listen, guys, I have begun to see a little bit, you know, you begin to see a little bit more and a little bit more. Because you're more powerful than you know here. It has got to do with prayer. It's got to do with prayer. That's the reason I said before, no beggars. We all got a beggar's mentality. We were trained to be beggars. We were trained in separation. We were trained in it. From our youth up, we've been trained that way. So, if we're going to understand these things, we got to understand who Jesus is. We got to understand who we are, right? So, I want to talk to you a little bit about who Jesus is today. And in order to do that, we got to look at something that's not talked about very often in the church. It's called the Ascension. Very few know about the Ascension. And if most Christians, you ask, why did Jesus come here? He came here to forgive me of my sins, right? That gets me to Good Friday. Right? That gets me to Good Friday. That's good. But and then less even know about the resurrection, you know, but that brings us on to Easter Sunday. And then we think that's it. There was a whole lot more went on after Easter Sunday. Thank God for Good Friday. Thank God for Easter Sunday. But it didn't just stop there. There was 40 days later after the resurrection. It was called the Ascension. Do you know, and it's so important, and you know, I got to ask you, I think sometimes we need to look at these things. We celebrate Easter, celebrate Good Friday. How many of you celebrate Ascension? You don't even know what day it is, do you? It ain't even on the calendar. Why? Because it's not important. All we care about is forgiveness of sins. You see what I mean? So we just go up to this point and then we stop. But my goodness. Let me give you a couple verses here. And then we'll get down into this. In Luke 24 and 50. Here's a little verse about the Ascension. And it says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. He led them out. This is Jesus, 6 weeks after the resurrection. He led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them, And it came to pass, while he was blessing them, he parted from them and carried up into heaven. He's carried up into heaven. Now Luke also wrote Acts. And in Acts, he says, let me flip over here to Acts. Chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, this wasn't just any foggy cloud. Okay, it wasn't a fog descending. This was the cloud. This was the Shekinah glory cloud. The cloud that led them in the wilderness. That's the cloud that he went in. Finally, now, this cloud has a face. In the middle of this cloud is the person, the human being, Jesus Christ, in the middle of this cloud. So I got to ask you this, what happened next after he went into the cloud? What happened next? Now the whole world is waiting on a return. It's not a bad thing. We'll talk about that one of these days. But where did he go? You know, Matthew and Mark, they write, you shall see, he's talking to the Pharisees, you'll see what? You'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and glory. He goes on to say, this generation shall not pass till these things come to be. But he's telling the Pharisees, you'll see the Son of Man. Now, what do you think he's talking about here? What do you think they're referencing this thing to? They're referencing this thing that they knew about the king. Now, see, we don't know these things, United States. I mean, we're a democracy, right? We vote our president in. Heck, most churches can vote their pastor in, vote him out. You know, it doesn't matter. Well, there's no voting in the kingdom. There's no voting. And when the king takes the throne, that's the way it is. And when the king will take the throne, he will ascend unto the throne. So I want to show you a verse here. In Daniel chapter 7, let me read this. Because, man, I could go. Let me just start at verse 13. I don't want to mess you up here with these other things. I saw in the night visions, this is Daniel, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. What Daniel saw here and prophesied us was the ascension. He saw Jesus, the Son of Man, a man, ascending to the Ancient of Days. And as he ascended, the throne, the Father gives him a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, never be moved. You see what I'm saying? Daniel had a picture. Now, which way was Jesus going? He was ascending up to the throne. Ascending up. Can you see this? Jesus left. We used to sing his home. Jesus left his home in glory. He left that glory that he had. And he came here and took on human flesh. Took on you and me. And now, raised in his victory, now he is ascending back to the throne. You with me? This verse right here, these verses is not the second coming of Jesus. These verses right here are about the ascension. And it's so important because now when he ascended, Jesus now has a body. He's got a body. He's the Son of Man. He's Christ Jesus, a human. When he got up from the dead, he didn't leave us off. They didn't find the body. That body got up. And he's got a body. So that means God has joined us. I don't know if you get a hold of this, but it means God will never leave us, meaning he will never throw off this body. This body has become part of the Trinity. I don't know if you're getting a hold of this or not, but this body, the person of Jesus Christ, has now been taken into the Trinity. In other words, Josh, he's into Paul. He's my brother, right? Josh. I got another brother named Jesus. And Jesus runs the universe. How about that? Jesus, my brother. Jesus, your brother. My brother, human. King of the universe. I don't know if you ever think about that. I mean, you might know Donald Trump. Good for you. You might know the mayor of Richlands. Yay, yippee. My brother just happens to be the king of the universe. I don't know about, everybody likes a claim to fame. I know so-and-so. I know so-and-so. Well, let me tell you about my brother. He just happens to run the universe. Jesus, so much a human, after he raised from the dead, what did he say? See, put your fingers right here. Put your hand right here. Touch me, handle me. See that a spirit hath not flesh and blood as you see me have. I'm a man just like you are. And as a matter of fact, you got any fish? Man, I'm a little hungry. I'd like you to eat some fish. Real human, glorified. So human that he joined his history to my history. Our history is joined to his history. So much so that it can never be parted. Now he stands before the Father, representing us, if you will. And to this Jesus, to this ascended one, was given lordship over the creation. Do you get that? He was giving lordship over the entire creation. It's kind of funny if you think about it, because the Son of God, he was the creator. He was the outpouring of the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word went forth and created. Jesus is, as Son of God, he is creator. As Son of and took back the creation, because Adam had lost it, given the authority of the creation over to the devil, over to Satan. Jesus humbled himself and won it back. Now he's Lord. It says in Psalm 110, "Sit thou on my right hand." Remember that verse? "Sit thou on my right hand." "The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool." In other words, the right hand means a place of equality. Place of equality. "Until I make your enemies thy footstool." Verse 2, it says, "Rule in the midst of your enemies." So what he's saying is here, God has a man, that man's name is Jesus, sitting at his right hand, sitting at a place of equality, sharing his glory, and it's a human being. And he says to that human being named Jesus, sit here and rule. Sit here and rule. That's where the king rules from, right? Sit there and rule. Now, let me go to Psalms chapter 2 because we're going to be here a lot. Psalms chapter 2. I'm just going to start at verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. This, guys, is David writing this psalm, and David is prophesying, but this psalm has come to reality when Jesus is on trial, and the people are yelling at Jesus, saying, we'll not have this man rule over us. We have Caesar's our king. Crucify him. Why did the heathen rage? Right? Do you see? I mean, that's where this psalm takes place. David prophesied this psalm is coming to pass right here. The people, the heathen, to say, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cord from us. Then he says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. We'll talk about that a little more next week. But then God says something right here. This is God speaking in verse 6. God saying, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. God is saying, they're raging, all this is going on, but yet in the midst of that, I have set my king on my holy hill Zion. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the ascension. He's talking about Jesus has ascended to the throne. No matter what is going on, I have set my king upon my holy hill. Now, verse 7 is Jesus declaring what was told him once he got to the throne. You with me? Because I mean, this is a conversation here. Jesus is saying, now I will declare the decree that I heard when I got here. There was a decree that went out. And I'm going to tell you what the decree was. The Lord has said unto me, see, I told you it was the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. It was the Father saying to the Son, declaring the decree, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. That doesn't mean he was born from Mary that day, but he's raised from the dead and ascended this day. You're not a child anymore. You are a son. And he says, ask him then. I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the othermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Ask of me. This is the ascension. This is God saying to your brother and my brother, God says, come and sit where you belong. Come and be my co-equal. Now your name is Lord. The Lord said to my Lord. Now your name is Lord. He's saying, I've begotten you. He said, I brought you out of death. You've conquered creation. You've brought creation out of its death and shame and guilt. You brought it out. You brought it back to us. You brought creation back to us. Now sit here, right now, sit here. You as human, you as man, you as Son of Man, Jesus, with fingers and toes. And he says, ask me. Ask of me and I'll give it to you because, why? Because it's yours. Because it's yours. Nobody had talked about this Psalm number 2 for 1,000 years. David wrote this psalm 1,000 years before Jesus had got there. Isaiah didn't talk about it. Jeremiah didn't talk about it. Daniel didn't talk about it. And here Jesus in a little upper room taking the bread and the wine in the new covenant looks at him and says, you know what, guys, ask. ask whatsoever you will in my name. What? You mean this psalm has come to pass? You mean now I could ask? Ask in my name. In other words, we are so one. When I ask, you ask. When you ask, I ask. Ask in my name, in my person. It's who you are. It's who I am. That's what prayer is. Prayer is joining with Jesus, sitting down at the right hand of the Father. We're so in sync with Jesus that Jesus asking for what belongs to Jesus and receiving it. Sometimes we think, well, we shouldn't ask for that. We got to be humble, you know. You can't ask for too much. It's too big. Remember Romans says, he that spared not his own son, but hath delivered him up, shall he not also with him give us all things? All things? But our problem here, our problem is, we don't understand this unity. Because I told you, we're trained in separation. We're trained in it. It's hard to untrain. But we have this triangle when it comes to prayer. I'm here, right? God's up there. My situation is over here. Can you see the triangle? So I've got it. So prayer to most Christians is my SOS. Send out my SOS. Try to get God to move over here in that situation. And you guys know that's not true. It's not. I mean, we went through the whole "why are you afraid" thing to show that wasn't true. How about this? Have you ever heard that Jesus gave you power of attorney? Have you ever heard that it preached that way? Well, if I give you power of attorney over my account, that means I'm not here. That's not it. That would mean he left and I'm all alone again, right? This is not power of attorney. Prayer is not the SOS. It's not the power of attorney. That's pagan. Prayer is I'm so one with Jesus that when the Father talks to Jesus, he talks to me. And when Jesus talks to the Father, I'm talking to the Father. We're so one. I don't know if you get a hold of that, guys, but if you don't, let the Holy Spirit bring this reality around. Let him just work it out. But you'll see how much of a separation mindset that you have. The Holy Spirit has joined us together. And now I can ask for it. Why can I ask for it? Because it's given to Jesus, and what's his is mine, and what's mine is his. We pray as one from the throne. Do you realize that? Well, our prayer is not to the throne. It's from the throne. And the love energy from God and the Holy Spirit goes to meet the situation. Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. I don't know if you get a hold of this. In other words, there's some enemies that you have right now. And the only thing that's going to meet that situation is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come through your prayer enacted. I'll break them with a rod of iron. That's your prayer. Ask of me. I don't know if you get a hold of this. I mean, these are just, I'm talking about the ascension. I'm talking about where Jesus is. But when I do that, I'm talking about where you are, because you're one with him. Now Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And the scriptures tell us we're seated in heavenly places. You're so one with Jesus. I don't know if you get a hold of this, but there's a heavenly conversation that's always going on. You know what I mean? The Father's talking to the Son. When the Father's talking to the Son, He's talking to you. Do you ever listen into that holy conversation? Isaiah got to hear a little bit of that conversation. Because the Father was talking to the Son and said, "Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah starts jumping up and down and says, "I heard that. Send me. I'll go." That was the Father talking to the Son. Do you ever hear that conversation? It's a heavenly conversation. If you don't hear, that's because you ain't paying attention. But you're there. You're there in the heavenly conversation. Prayer is you joining in with what He is doing now. I mean, you couldn't be closer. It's why Jesus came. I mean, what was the verses we went over? That you'll know, He said, none knows the Father except the Son. None knows the Son except the Father. And to whom He'll reveal. Jesus came so that you would know the Father as the Son knows the Father, and that you would know the Son as the Father knows the Son. That's why He came. And out of that was joy. Great joy. You remember, I mean, Jesus is telling them this right in the upper room. Remember, He looks at them and He says, "Oh, don't let your heart be troubled." Remember? Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. I mean, that's what He said. We're one. I mean, it's good that you believe in the Father. It's good that you believe in God. But listen, He and I are one. Don't let your heart be troubled. This is not some separation. If you believe in Him, believe in Me. In My Father's house are many abiding places. I'm not going to use the word mansion. He's not over building you a log cabin. In My Father's house is many places of refuge. In My Father's heart is many places of refuge. If it were not so, I would have told you. If it wasn't true, I would have told you. And He says, and I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Now listen, we'll take this up to Good Friday and we'll say, where did He go? Yeah, He went to the cross. Amen, brother. He went to the cross. But they didn't leave Him on the cross. Did they? They took the body down. They took that body. And yes, He made a place. And I went to the cross, Patty. But then here come on the Nicodemus, whoever it was, and took that body down and wrapped it up in linen and laid it in a tomb. And guess what they did with me? Laid me in the tomb, because now my history is His history. But then, thank God, He didn't stay there either, did He? He rose up from the dead. And guess what happened? I rose up from the dead. But thank God, that just gets us to Easter Sunday. But He didn't stop there, Olegay. He ascended. And when He ascended, He told me about a decree that was given. The Father says, ask of Me and I'll give it. This day have I begotten thee. So He ascended to the throne, and guess where I am? I've ascended right with Him, because we're so one. And He made a place for me. Where? At the right hand of the Father. Setting us co-equal. And that doesn't mean you become God. No, no, no. Just as the Son is not the Father, and the Father's not the Son. But these three are one. You have been joined with the Trinity. Now He says, ask. I made a decree. See, He's there. Jesus is there by nature. Because He's Son of God, I'm there by sheer gift and grace of God. I don't know what that does to you, but it kind of makes me have a little bit of joy. I mean, look what He says here. Let me just go over here to Ephesians. Let me just read that real quick. Man, you guys know this verse. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. There's covenant, right? Hesed. There's covenant. God, who is rich in this covenant. This covenant whose name goes by the term loving kindness. For His great love wherewith He loves us. Even when we were dead, even when we were saying, let us break the cords, let us go away from Him, let us not have this man rule, even when we were hostile to Him, hath he quickened us together with Christ. Do you ever get this? Wait a minute, I thought you had to do something to be quickened to Christ. I thought you had to pray the sinner's prayer. Well, if y'all find a sinner's prayer, y'all tell me. It's the second Jude. Even when we were dead, hath he quickened us together with Christ. And then he has to put this statement in there. By grace are you saved. And not only that, not only saved, and hath raised us up together and made us. I don't know if you got a hold of that. Made us. Didn't ask me. Didn't even ask me if I wanted to sit at the right hand of the Father. Didn't even ask me. But I think he knew it would be such great joy. Made us. Still, I don't know how you read these scriptures. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, here's a little something for you to think about here. You were born again. Now, if I would ask most Christians, when were you born again? And see, I didn't know this either. I thought I was born again in 1980. Thought I was begotten of God in 1980. And I don't know when you were born again. I could go around and ask a lot of them, you'd give me dates. Do you realize you were born again when Jesus raised from the dead? You were born again, you might have realized it 10 years ago. You might have realized it 20 or 30 years ago. But you are so one with Jesus, when he was born again, you were born again. This day have I made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I wasn't even born yet. Did you get what I'm saying? Now the Holy Spirit comes and brings that experience to me. I couldn't experience it before because I wasn't even there, and I didn't start experiencing it until 1980. But yet, boom, but he's making a reality in me of something that has already taken place. He's not doing something. Why? Because he has sat down. The high priest has finished his work. It's over. And all he's doing is bringing this reality to active in your life. I don't know if you get what I'm saying here. Just, we were born again when Jesus rose from the dead, when he ascended. Why do I say that? Because his history is my history. And he says right here, I will declare the decree. The word decree here is like gravity. You know what gravity? Gravity means that's the way things work and you can't change it. I don't care. It's the way gravity works. You throw a rock up, it'll come down. Now, we might even be able to fly in an airplane, but still, gravity is the way things work. The decree. This is the way things work. He gives us these books, Daniel and Esther, to show us about the decree of the king. You remember in Daniel, when the king made a decree, he couldn't even change it. That's why Daniel got in the lion's den, man. He didn't want to put Daniel in the lion's den. But he had to, because he made a decree about praying, and they did it, and you know. And so Daniel's in there, and he was up on this. It's a decree of God that cannot be changed. It's the way it is. The way it is, he says, ask of me. It's the way it is. Can't be reversed. It's a law like gravity. Ask. Even the king can't reverse it. Here's the way this decree works. He made a decree and says that there shall be salvation in no other. No other name but Jesus. Right? That's a decree. That's the way it is. There's no salvation outside of Jesus. There's not another way. It's a decree. There is no other name whereby you shall be saved. That's a decree. I mean, that's it. There's no debate. Jesus is the way. And he says to Jesus here, the Son of Man, he says to Jesus, ask of me, I'll give you all nations. I've given mankind to you. You've won it with your blood. You've won creation with your blood. The Father says, you've just won it with your blood. It's yours. Now ask me for it. And where are you? You're one with Him. You're one with Him. Ask and it's yours. I don't know in that. And see what I'm getting at here. I'm getting at the gospel, the very heart of the gospel. You've been brought into the destiny that God had for you. What was the destiny God had for you? We think it's all these things. Your destiny was to know Him and Him to know you and to be filled with love and experience Him in His fullness. Sum it up, your destiny was to be loved. Now you're loved in the person of Jesus Christ. You get that? Your destiny was to be loved. Out of that love, you might sing and dance and do whatever it is you do, but your destiny was to be loved. And now Jesus has done that, brought you to that. You are the inheritance of Jesus. Because you were part of the creation, right? And we were all under the authority of Satan because we had given that up. And Jesus, through His blood, has now purchased us back. And God has given Him all nations. Yeah, how about this verse right here? Isaiah 53:11. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Y'all know that verse? Man, I've struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled with that verse. But listen, you are the travail of his soul. I don't know if you get a hold of that. And what happened? You are the travail of his soul, but he still looked at you and thought it worth it. Thought it worth it all. We got little songs about that now, which kind of gets on that. You heard of the song, The Dance, better to have loved and lost than not loved at all. You know how these things go. I mean, listen, Dad, think about your own kids. Are they the travail of your soul? Nobody can bring you more sorrow in this world than your kids. But still yet, you count it all worth it, don't you? It's all worth it. You are the travail of his soul. But yet he was satisfied. Oh, yeah. You get that? Do you get just a little hint of how loved you are of the Father in the person of the Son? He looks out at you with great delight. He says, I'm satisfied. Now, in that, ask. He's asking for what is already his, right? I mean, Jesus has already smashed Satan, conquered death, took away shame and guilt, brought about a brand new creation. He's done it, he said, and now he says, ask for it. Prayer's not screaming at God and trying to get him to change his mind about something. Truthfully being, you can only ask for what is yours. Right? If I ask for what's not mine, I'm in a whole other category here. Now I'm over here as a beggar seeking a charity case. I don't know. I just think about these things. Let's just say this. I go to somebody's house and I give them my coat. When I get ready to leave, I say, can I have my coat? I mean, I don't beg and scream for it or jump up and down. I ain't asking for your coat. I'm asking for mine because it's my coat. I just, and it's so easy, right? I just say, Patty, can I get my coat? Yeah, here you go. I mean, I didn't have to, oh, great, now, kind, gracious, and heavenly, Patty, could I please get a great coat from? I just say, hey, that coat's mine, Patty, that one right there. No, not that one, that one. Yeah, okay, here. So easy, right? What is yours? Everything that is Jesus, everything that belongs to Jesus is yours. I mean, do we even get that? Does that even wow you just a little bit? It doesn't really wow us because we're so trained in separation, we don't believe a word of it. We do not really believe it. Or Christians do not believe that you can go out here and change your family. They don't believe you can change your community, change your nation. We don't believe it. Those prayers are too big. God, if you only knew what I was going through right now and my little situations and nothing is happening and all this other stuff. Why? Because we think we're a bunch of beggars trying to get God to move in the triangle thing over here to do something and not even knowing we're one with Him. authority and there's power right there. I don't know if you know this, but Jesus took Satan's power. Listen, Satan still has power. He has no authority. He can still come in your life and wreck you up if you want him to. But he has no authority. All authority is given unto Jesus. All power, all authority in all the dimensions, all everything there is, it's all given to Jesus. That's why you can now ask with great joy, with great boldness. You can come and ask. You can come and ask for what is yours. Now, look, let me go over here to Matthew here just a second. Matthew 28. Let me show you. Matthew 28. Right here at the end. Listen. Jesus, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That means every dominion there is, all power is given unto me. All authority. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing. You know, we think that's a great evangelistical sermon, right? So that's the way we look at it. It's like, I got to go over here and tell you about a Jesus over yonder. It's not that way. The reason you can go and teach is because now you're teaching out of some authority and power that you've never had before. Who are these guys? They would ask, who is Peter? They're unlearned and they speak these things and prophesy. Who are these guys? These are just dumb fishermen. Who are these disciples that turn the world upside down? My God, who is this Jesus right here? He's from Nazareth. Who is these people here? These bunch of nobodies. These bunch of nothingness people right here, they're not elegant, all these things that they go out and they're turning the world upside down. Why? Because they know who they are and I can go proclaim to them. I don't need to say, look, you need to do this and then God will do this. And I need to say, look, it's done. It's over. I can, you remember Paul, he says, Paul, I'm going to send you out to these Gentiles. I'm going to send you out to bring them, listen, knowledge of, to depart from the kingdom of darkness, come into the kingdom of light. I come to tell you, Paul, go bring sight to their eyes. Now listen, if it's nighttime and you're blind, you ain't going to know the difference between daylight and dark. But you know what, guys? The sun has risen. And it is daytime. The bright and morning star is setting on high. And the world still thinks it's darkness. And he says, Paul, I'm sending you to give sight to the blind. I'm sending you out to tell them, look, the day star has risen. Look, the night is far spent. The day is here. This is the gospel. I don't know if you got this, but I can go to people right now and I can tell them Jesus has done it. It's over. It's finished. There's a decree that has went out. Ask of me. And I'm gonna say this and I'll finish, Jeff, about 2 minutes. Listen. Jesus came here as a man, right? And as Jesus went about doing the things that he did, how did he do it? He never done it on his God power. He done everything through the Holy Spirit. Everything through the Holy Spirit. Now, look here in Acts. Let me just get to this verse. I mean, this verse here just kind of blows my mind because here was the day of Pentecost. Man, they're jumping around. They think they're drunk. They're speaking in tongues. They're prophesying. They're doing all these things. Peter, the dumb old fisherman, uneducated fisherman, looks up at him in verse 33 in Acts chapter 2. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Listen, I don't know if you get it. Let me just go back and read that. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, Jesus, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, you realize that every promise in the Bible was to Jesus. Every single one. None was worthy to receive them. And he got them all. And now all the promises of God, where at? In Christ Jesus, are yes and amen. Everyone, every promise was made to him, and he got them all. And this same Jesus here, the same one exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he received it. He, this Jesus, this exalted Jesus, hath shed forth this, not going to, not one glad day. In that day you'll know that I'm in the Father. And you're in me and I'm in you. What day is that? That's today. And this same one, this exalted Jesus, hath he shed forth this which ye now, N-O-W, now means right now, with this thing which you now see and hear. Did you just get a hold of that? Let me go back over here to Matthew. In this 11, look. I'm going back to Matthew 11, verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And to he, that's me and you, to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Then he says this. He's not changing subject here, guys. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. What is he talking about? Take my a yoke. A yoke makes two oxen work as one. Now, I can go back to the law a little bit, and I don't plow with an oxen and a mule. That's against the law. Do you just get what I'm saying? So I'm not going to plow with a beggar and a son together. That's against the law, Denise. God is righteous. So I'm going to have two sons here plowing together. What's going to yoke them together and make them work as one? The Holy Spirit. And this that you now see, he received the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this which you now see and hear, he has shed abroad. And Paul got a hold of it. This love of God he shed abroad in our hearts. How? Through the Holy Ghost, through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has made you and Jesus one, yoked you together, so that where you go, he goes. Where he goes, you go. You're yoked together. And then he says, and we think it's hard. He says, take my yoke upon you. Look what he says. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn of me means know me. Know me as the Father knows me, and as I know the Father. Learn of me. Know me. Says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Learn of me. You'll find rest. Do you have rest to your souls? I'm just asking you. If you do, great. If you don't, you better learn of me, he says. Know who you are. You're yoked together. Ask the Holy Spirit to come in and make this a reality in your heart. And in this something, I'm just going to throw this out to you. We'll get there here. You, when you're yoked to Jesus, are brought into his humility. He humbled himself, and you are brought into his humility. So when I look at these promises and gifts of God and all of these things, I don't have to judge myself worthy or unworthy. I don't have to say, I haven't done enough to earn this. No, I didn't even do enough to disqualify myself. Jesus has done it all. And it is finished and it's over. And I can come boldly to the throne of grace to seek mercy in the time of need. I can go into the Father just as easy as I can go into your house and say, give me my coat. Right? Because it's my coat. So I can go ask for healing. Why? Because Jesus got it. Listen, I can ask for my family to be whole. Why? Because Jesus already is given to him. A decree went out and it cannot be changed. I can pray for the schools the kids go to. Right? A decree went out. I can pray for my community. A decree went out. It cannot be. And he says, ask me. I'm already, if I gave it to Jesus, it's yours. It's yours. Do you get a hold of it? I don't know if that excites you. I don't know if it gets you. It's almost too exciting to me, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. You know, I don't go home, but I don't go into the refrigerator and pray and beg. I just go in there and I get what's mine. I don't go to your house because that's not mine. But what thanks are given to Jesus? All thanks. All thanks are given unto Jesus. And you're yoked to him. You're one and the same. The Father loves you as he loves the Son. He loves the Son as he loves the Father. His history is your history. You're one. When he looks at you, he looks at the Son. Do you see what I'm talking about? You've been brought into this Trinity. And he says, ask of me. Ask of me. I'll give it to you. It's almost too much, isn't it? Listen, I'll get out of the way. We're going to continue on this series for a few more weeks, but man, it's good. All right, man, come on.